Into the 3 o'clock hour, we roll Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby, Padres, Giants. Begin a three-game set here in San Francisco, Oracle Park to be exact. Padres looking to get back in, you know, 15 games. They're looking to win some games. They're looking to win every game they play, and that will be the objective. I do have a prediction today, guys. Lineup prediction.
Okay.
I think we see perhaps Peralta as a DH today, sliding Arise to first base to give Peralta an opportunity.
A swing, yeah.
Some for some ABs, a right-hander in Webb. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised to see that be the only switch. That maybe Diaz gets to start today as well.
I was going
to
ask you. I think Diaz, you know, basically has been anointed, right, as the backup catcher. Higashioka's been getting the playing time, but the one thing I will say, Cease was normally pitching to Campusano.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see, you know, they can go Higashioka, of course, or Diaz. But
same thing with Darvish, too, the other day. That was right. The first time I think he had thrown to somebody not named Luis Camposano.
Yeah, so I'm going to say Elias Diaz. He's
Elias.
Drives me crazy. Elias, like the Sports Bureau. He's going to be.
There you go.
I think he'll be in the lineup tonight, but we'll see. The lineup is not yet out. The one guy's in the lineup, though, is Logan Webb for the Giants. And just flashes on the screen there, guys. 7 career starts against the Padres at Oracle Park. 1.91 is his ERA. So he does tend to give the Padres a rough time there. Tonight, they got to find a way to change that. Either that or Cease has got to be lights out. And Cease comes into the game, guys, with 997 career strikeouts. Expecting number Thou tonight.
Number Thou?
Yeah. I don't know. Hundo sounds good. I don't know what Thou-do doesn't
thou
sound.
Thou-wow. I knew exactly I knew exactly what you were saying, Chris. Only Mr. Scraby would point it out.
Like he didn't understand it. He's always looking for dig. He's
just
digging.
A little dig.
Always digging.
I mean, you're always looking to dig as well over there.
True enough. True that.
Wait, shovel. You what?
I was going to say... You digger.
Good luck with
that. I felt like that was too close.
That's what you came up with?
Well, no,
digger.
I was going to say you were digging over there, too. You digger with a D.
Oh,
and then I was
Lord,
like, I should just
mercy.
Stop right now.
But you didn't stop. That's
well,
the thing. Listen
to
yourself
to
sometimes. Listen to yourself.
He wanted me to finish the sentence.
I didn't think you were anywhere in that realm over there. Wow.
I'm not in that realm, though.
No, you know, let's just move on. Daily Gambit is usually what we hit up at the beginning of the 3 o'clock hour. So let's head down that route.
Do you people know what we're having to deal with over here? I'm looking at you.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwynn and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwynn and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. We have some bets to review from yesterday. And I have one bet that won from last night that I think is insane they even bet this to begin with.
Real quick, before you go into your bets. I feel even more confident about Peralta. I'm looking at the numbers against Webb. Peralta is a .333 hitter and 18 at bats against Logan Webb. Now, there are no numbers. Elias Diaz's numbers aren't great. He's actually an .050 hitter against Webb.
Ooh.
So maybe, but Higashioka, I don't think he has any at bats against Webb, at least according to this. So there's that.
Tony's trying to convince us that this game isn't important. He's looking up David Peralta stats. I'm telling you what, guys. Well, Tony's starting to get the feel. He's starting to get the feel.
In my defense, I'm starting to write out what I think is the lineup on my little iPad. So it's just right next to it. I didn't have to do really any work. Just so it's
I love it. We're waiting for the lineup for tonight's game. We'll bring it to you when we
probably
get
won't
it.
Have it for another 3 hours. The game isn't until you know tomorrow.
That's right.
God,
man, what? It was just 7:10 here in town like 3 years ago or 4 years ago. Now it's like foreign for anything to be after 7.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's late.
It is late. All right, Bills and Dolphins last night. Total score was over under 48 points. All of us went over. It was under.
I went to my my guy out there in
Rocco
Rancho San Diego
Rocco.
Today. No, my guy Sammy.
At the, the barber guy. Yes.
And Sammy's a big he's a wagerer, as we know.
He's first, a wagerer.
Yes. First thing he told me when I sat down was not, you know, sorry the Dolphins lost. It was, how come they didn't score any points in the second half?
Yeah, bet my thoughts over. Exactly.
Because it was 31-10.
It was.
With a long time remaining.
Yeah.
And then nobody scored, so the overbettors were upset. I also told Sam that I would mention this. He is the guy when it comes to the survivor pools.
Yep.
My haircut guy, Sam, he's won two of those in our times here together. Guess who we had last week in the week one?
The Bungles?
Yeah.
Wow.
He gone.
That's such a
two-time winner, and he's gone.
That's such a weird feeling for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being gone after week. Did he have the same amount of despair and regret that I did?
He wasn't pleased. He was not pleased with the Bengals on that. Because he actually puts some money down. We play for pride
yes.
and a wrestling
yes.
belt. He puts, yes. you know, I had to pay him extra today to cover his gambling winnings for my haircut.
By the way, I heard a new term for bet that I think the gambling industry is trying to get going. Instead of bets, it's your stake. You staked $10.
Okay.
Like, you didn't bet $10.
Nah, I choose to
lose. Do I still lose it if I lose the stake?
You do lose your stake.
Okay,
yes.
It's a bet then.
Yes. They're trying to get away from that word
did
bet, I believe.
Did I lose money? Yes, you did, sir.
Because
it was hardly a stake.
I was looking at this,
right.
this guy's Twitter account, and he said, I would stake $10 on this. And I went to another Twitter account. The guy said, I would stake this amount. Like, maybe stake is a term for what they're trying to make it.
Nah. It's still something good to eat.
Okay. Next one. Josh Allen passing plus rushing over under 283.5. You guys went over. I went under. It was under because he didn't have to do anything last night.
He only had half that total. And yet they still won the game in a blowout.
Yeah.
So.
The game was over after the first quarter.
Maybe a little early there, but quarter and a half, I'd say.
Okay. Josh Allen or Tua, most completions. Now, we all chose Tua. And thankfully, Josh Allen didn't have to do anything because he had like 13 completions. Tua had 17, so Tua wins that
one.
Tyreek Hill over under 95.5 yards. Now, I heard another stat before the game when I was closing up shop here on the broadcast, and it was Tyreek has never had more than 92 yards against the Bills.
Or against any good team.
I think it's just the
Sorry,
Bills.
Tyreek. I'm on his case right now.
But it was over under 95.5 yards. It wasn't even close.
No.
I bet you're the only one that said under.
I went under.
He had like 29 yards.
Where'd he go? Where was he?
He was on the bench.
And I kept thinking to myself, you know, okay, well, maybe they're just triple teaming him. But if that's the case, everyone else should be open. And that wasn't the case either. So I don't know what Tyreek did last night, but he didn't play much.
Now, we didn't actually bet on this game, but I had to find the score of South Alabama and Northwestern State.
Oh, right. We were going to.
By the way, Northwestern State. The Demons.
Thank you.
They played like some demons.
Yeah, South Alabama won 87-10.
87?
The spread was 37.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
87.
They even did that whole thing where they like scored, but they kept scoring.
But they knelt down and fell forward into the end zone.
Or like a fumble fell right into their arms as they were falling into the end zone. But 87
wow.
to 10.
Oh boy.
It was, I think, a 24-10 first quarter score, which isn't terrible, but.
Yeah.
The next one was Ogunbowale against Stewart. Who scored more in the WNBA? You guys chose Ogunbowale. I chose Stewart. And we pushed. Both of them had 11 points.
Neither of them had a big night.
No.
But the Liberty won the game.
Yankees and Red Sox. Yankees were -1.5 on the run line. Chris chose Red Sox. Tony and I chose Yankees. Yankees won 2-1, so the Red Sox win the bet.
Who had the game-winning hit?
Juan Soto.
Yes, he did.
I saw him getting doused with Gatorade.
Love to see Juan celebrating out there. Warms my heart.
It does. I've gotten over it. It took me almost the entire year to get over it.
Yeah, I still can't. I still don't love it for some reason.
The bet I wanted to talk to you guys about, which should never be made, it's crazy to make this bet. But they put $100 down on, they staked $100 on James Cook to score 3+ touchdowns and Devon Achane being a first quarter TD scorer. Plus 25,000. I feel like the odds should be
so
way
random.
Bigger than that.
Very random.
But this person won. They won $25,000.
They won by halftime.
Yeah.
Cook had his 3 touchdowns in the first half.
Yeah, talking about being able to like sit back and enjoy a game.
Serious.
It's like, it's nice that they reported this winnings, but if they make stupid bets like that, how many times must they lose before they finally get one?
This comes from like FanDuel put it out there like, hey, look at this crazy bet.
That's a crazy one.
Steak.
It's crazy steak. All right, let's pick some steaks here. Tonight, Dylan Cease over under 6.5 strikeouts. He needs 3 for 1,000, Scraby. What do you got?
He needs 3 for 1,000.
6.5 Ks
over-under. I'm going to go over.
Over for Cease.
I don't know, but I'm going to go over.
I'm going to go over. I just always feel like he's going to strike out more than that. So, over. Tony, want to get
over.
In
over. Yes, sir.
Who pitches more innings tonight, Dylan Cease or Logan Webb? I just said Webb's got a 1.91 ERA against the Padres, and he always pitches a lot of innings. Cease doesn't always pitch a lot of innings. I'm going to take the odds here and go Webb. Tony?
I'm going to say Webb, too.
Webb also. Scraby?
Contrarian.
Got it. College football tonight. Matchup of two ranked teams, Kansas State at home, favored by 7 over Arizona. This is a Big 12 conference matchup for the first time ever. K-State or Arizona? Tony, K-State by 7. Both teams are ranked.
I'll take Arizona to cover.
Take the cover. Tony, or Scraby?
I'm going to go K-State.
K-State. Wildcats, you say?
Yes.
I'll also take the Wildcats, as in the Arizona Wildcats.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, sneaky.
I already put K-State in
there. I knew
there.
You would, and you'd have to scribble it out. Tomorrow, this is a fun one for you, Scraby only. Tennessee, home to Kent State. They'll be laying 49 points in this game.
Kent State's not a Division II school, is it?
No, they're Division I. Tennessee's favored by 4.9.
I'm glad you changed that up there, buddy. I thought you were saying, Kent State is not that bad. Like, when did you see Kent State play, buddy?
The Golden Flashes.
Yeah, just because you named their mascot don't mean nothing.
Did Antonio... No, Antonio Gates played for Akron, right?
Kent State.
Kent State, there we go. Boom. Yeah. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, that's why he thought he went to Akron.
Yeah, he's all excited. Yeah, you got that wrong.
Good job.
Tennessee up by a 49-point spread.
Right.
They will not be coming around the mountain. We're going to go...
Kent State. Oh,
that's right. All-timer, right?
Do we have that clip still?
I think it got deleted, and I'm not kidding.
That was one of the many
COVID
pandemic,
moments.
Pandemic
She'll
statements.
Be coming around the mountain when she goes.
What was the subject of that?
It was the theme, the Rocky Top.
Yeah,
we were talking about the song.
Oh yes,
and he said it was
Tennessee. Rocky Top.
He said it was coming around the mountain.
I thought that was coming around the mountain when she goes.
That was a moment.
I'm sorry, I digress.
No. Tony, who you got here? 49 on the balls?
I would say they cover.
They cover, you say?
Yes.
They've been beaten. They've won by 102 points total their first two games, so sounds like a 50-point blowout. I'll take Tennessee.
Yep. Tennessee.
Dodgers and Braves tonight, 8.5 runs. Tony's first. 8.5 runs total. I guess I should tell you who's pitching.
Yeah, I can find that out real quick.
Could come into a play in a bet like that. Schellenbach and Knack.
I'm sorry, who?
Landon Knack for the Dodgers.
What's the 8.5?
8.5. There's people in line behind you, Tony. Let's go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go under. We're going under.
Tony's going under. Scraby, you're up.
I'm going to go under, too.
Really?
Yeah.
They're going to be slugging in Atlanta tonight. I'll take over. Tommy Edman, my man. 2 home runs in back-to-back games.
Wow.
For Tommy
He's
Edman.
Liking the L.A. hat.
He's rolling. Shohei comes into the game,
47-48. Yeah, 47-48.
Unbelievable. Asia Wilson added again tonight for the Aces in Indiana, 27 points over under. Chris is up here. Every time I bet her, it's been over, and every time I've won. So I'll say over. Tony.
Over.
Scrabe.
Under.
Under. All right. And Caitlin Clark. This is another aspect of her game that nobody talks about. She leads the league in assists.
Yeah.
Leads the whole league as a rookie.
She's a hooper.
Yeah, she is. 8.5 assists tonight for her. Over, under. Scraby.
That's a lot.
That is a lot of an assist.
I'm going to go under.
Under. I'm going to go under also. It's just the one thing about assists that I always find is that
you count on the other person.
Yes, the other person has to make the shot. Sometimes they don't. Tony, what do you want to do?
Over.
Tony says. All right. That's it for our stakes tonight.
Thanks,
John. Daily Gambit. See how we do. Both Scraby and I are doing all right this week. Scraby's 11-9. I am 14-6.
Oh.
So I'm eating this week.
Look at you, fancy man.
Yeah.
I'm eating this week.
This week I can eat. All right, we'll take a quick timeout here. More Gwen and Chris on the way. We should have a Padre lineup within the next couple of hours.
We're still like 7 hours away from game time, so.
Yeah, J.D. Wicker's coming up at 4 o'clock. What's happening at the bottom of this hour, Scrabe? Do you have a
countdown?
Oh, yes, our countdown for the week. I think you'll have some fun. Kind of a little diversion topic for you. So it's all still ahead, but first let's get some traffic.
It's not me, is it?
Yes, all right. It is you. You're on the air.
Welcome to the program, sir.
It's not me, guys.
It is me.
Oh, it is you.
Yes, thank you.
Didn't you tell me right before we came back in that it was Tony?
I asked you, and I was guessing.
Okay.
Show's
it's Friday, everybody.
Show's rolling along smoothly.
Tony goes, this is not
today.
Me.
Yeah. Sorry about that, everyone. Hello, Chris Ello here, Tony there in San Fran. Padres there in San Fran with a giant lineup available for us to look at. A couple of weird guys in there, like Grant McCray, who hit two homers last week. He hit one of them against Dylan Cease, if I'm not mistaken, Tone.
Did they post a lineup?
Giants lineup.
They literally did that as soon as I closed my computer. What jerks.
How dare them. Brent Wisely's in there tonight. Donovan Walton, second baseman. Don't know much about him. Gerard Encarnacion had a three-run homer against the Padres last week. Bunch of no-name guys. Can't let them rise up tonight. A lot at stake here. Mets and Phillies get underway in about 15 minutes. And Philly, Braves, and Dodgers after 4 o'clock. Diamondbacks later against the Brewers. We'll keep an eye on all of that. There's an interesting thing percolating, though, in baseball. And it has to do with the Dodgers. And it has to do with Shohei Ohtani. But it has to do with Shohei Ohtani in a way that I think most of us had kind of in our minds put out of our minds for this season at least. Apparently now, Dave Roberts, when pushed on this subject, has said, who knows? When they get to the postseason, Shohei Ohtani conceivably could come in and do some pitching, Tony Gwynn Jr. That would change things a little bit. After all, the Dodgers are, you know, they've got a bunch of injuries down there in that staff, and the bullpen's been a little inconsistent. Ohtani could pitch in the playoffs. That kind of opens up a whole nother thing.
You think? Yeah, definitely.
Slightly, huh?
No, I will say this. He hasn't pitched in the game, and I imagine he won't be sharp no matter who he is on the mound.
Right.
You know, not having done it. These bullpens ain't that. These games ain't a bullpen. I can guarantee you that. But, you know, it is another arm that they would have available, and it could come at a time. And I'm not sitting here saying that Ohtani could start because I don't know that he would ever be built up to do that.
Yeah.
But with the news of, What's my man's name on the guy from Tampa? No, from Tampa.
From Tampa.
Glasnow.
With Glasnow reporting, Dave Roberts also said in that same presser that Glasnow is still having pain in that elbow, considered it a step back. It's not looking like he's going to have a chance to pitch in the playoffs, at least right now. So they're already kind of dragging themselves there with their pitching. I'm sure this is something to positive, but how much are you going to get from Ohtani?
I don't know.
Literally hasn't pitched in a year.
Yeah, August 23rd is the last time. Last year, of course.
He would be coming into like the most high stress situations. You certainly wouldn't be able to control this type of environment. So, yeah, I hear Dave, but I'm curious to know how and in what capacity would you be getting him.
Would you be? I mean, if you're Dave Roberts, would you be willing to like have his first appearance in over a year be, you know, a shutdown inning in the seventh or eighth inning of a playoff game? Or would you at least want to get him to pitch a couple innings somewhere along the line before the end of the regular season just to get back out on the mound?
I don't know, man. Like, you got this. You still got time if you really wanted to, like, to get him some innings in the minor leagues. But he's also he's also your best hitter. So,
yeah,
like,
I can't really do
like,
that.
You can't really send him nowhere to go like get this work. I mean, I guess you could fly some minor leaguers up there to take some ABs and kind of do a sim game, which I'm sure they haven't crossed off the list. But yeah, it would be. It would be kind of I think this is a tough scenario to get him back going. I'm not saying that they can't do it.
Hopefully it's just a fugazi. Hopefully they're not really thinking of this. But I really didn't think it was even a question. I thought he was just not going to pitch till next year. And that was, you know, done, you know, move on from that. But, you know, found it interesting that it's kind of been brought up. And here we go. You know, Dave Roberts is addressing it. So something to keep in the back of our minds. God, wouldn't that be something if you get to the playoff, the second round, Dodgers, Padres, game one, and tie score seventh inning, and the bullpen gate opens, and Ohtani comes jogging in? That would catch your attention at the very least. So,
yes,
we will see.
Yes, he would.
All right, we'll take a break here when we come back. Mediterranean food, try Spiro's authentic Mediterranean. It's in Coronado, it's in La Jolla, it's at Petco Park. For dining or takeout options, spiroscuisine.com. Chrisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in San Francisco, and Matt Scraby alongside here, Odyssey Palace Studios. Padres Giants play sometime later tonight. Game's still well off in the distance, and as a result, Gwynn and Chris show rolls on, people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Sammy Levitt pregame show is due sometime after dark tonight.
Literally.
Ah, it's unbelievable.
Actually, maybe not after dark, but getting
late game,
dark.
Late game, 7:15 for the first pitch tonight. Logan Webb, Dylan Cease. A couple of news items that we've been discussing. If you just tuned in, Christian McCaffrey ruled out for Sunday's game for San Francisco.
Ain't no thing,
says the confident/arrogant 49er fan. 49ers will be taking on the Vikings without McCaffrey. There is some talk that he could go on the IR, which would mean he'd be out for at least four games total. The other couple of notes on players, if you're setting your fantasy lineups, etc., Kenneth Walker, running back Seattle, doubtful and kind of maybe like almost out.
Yeah.
Probably want to get him out of your lineup if you have him. Jake Ferguson, tight end, Dallas, same thing. Some other ones that are questionable, but including Jordan Love, which I still think is weird. Jordan Love, who, you know, sprained his MCL last week, couldn't walk, thought he might be out for like a month. Coach says he could still potentially play Sunday against the Colts. Scraby doesn't buy
it. I don't believe it for one second.
Scraby does not buy that.
Not for one second.
All right. Every Friday we do our countdown. It's usually a hard-hitting sports topic.
Do, do, do.
But not today. So sit back, relax after traffic, and enjoy a little more fun in today's countdown.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, it's Friday. It is the day we do our countdown each week. Give you the category in a second. We count down our top five in that category. And it's usually a sports-related category, but not the case today. I feel like guys with, you know, the Padres getting set for these last 15 games, the stress of playoff-style baseball, and, you know, the stress I've been feeling all day long after the Miami result last night. I think everybody's heard that in my voice and in my anger throughout the show today. So
a little bit.
Yeah, we're gonna try to get away from it all for a moment. We're gonna go to the movies. Grab yourself.
Oh, we're going to the movies. Hey?
Yeah, grab yourself a box of popcorn and a large
Cracker Jacks.
Before we do the list, what do you normally get at the movies? What's your go to? You get nothing. You walk in, you order nothing.
Nothing.
Is that right?
I refuse to pay.
The price. Do you ever bring any food in?
No, nothing.
No. So you just you nothing. You sit there.
But if someone says they're going to buy for me,
okay, then
it's
you
popcorn.
Popcorn. Yeah. Right. Tony, what's your? You guys sometimes bring the whole family. Is that like a $500 bid? Bill for
yeah,
you?
I was gonna say wow.
not when you're going to the movies with Elise Gwynn, my wife.
She packs a picnic.
She's definitely packing a picnic or holding on to them dollars tight when we go to the to get something. I usually get some type of candy.
Yeah.
The kids want an icy or Slurpee or whatever they got there. But you're limited when you're going with moms.
Yeah, I it's just me, so I pretty much splurge. I go large.
You should.
I go large.
Oh. I don't feel like you should go to a movie or a baseball game and not.
Yeah. I mean,
splurge.
To me, it's part of it. So I go large and large. I will usually like some red vines as well, but I will try to buy those at the market and sneak them in because $6 for the red vines.
Put them in your underwear so no one finds them?
Wherever they need to go, Scraby. Just don't you worry about where I put them.
Oh, I'm gonna follow you next time and tell the guy, hey, make sure you pat down that front area.
Lori comes in with her own healthy popcorn from Trader Joe's.
Is it actual popcorn though?
Yeah, it's good popcorn. Okay. It's just healthier. She puts it in a backpack. I'm pretty sure these
Nothing
people
is
are aware.
Just like bringing a backpack.
No kidding. I think everybody's aware what's going on, but
you gotta be a little sneakier than that.
She doesn't. I think she looks them in the
picnic basket with her.
I think she looks the guy in the eye and says, just try me, pal.
You don't want this smoke.
You don't want this. No. I look him in the eye and tell him he doesn't want this smoke. All right. Now that we're settled into our seat, our top five Leonardo DiCaprio movies.
Number five.
One of the most famous actors in Hollywood history and Best Actor Award winner once and two more times nominated. So. Well, we haven't done that in a while. We've done, I think, over the years, Nicholson and Tom Hanks and some of these guys. So, Scraby, why don't you start us off? What's your number five Leo movie?
Shout out to The Revenant. It just missed. Revenant is great. The bear scene is crazy.
Isn't that the one he climbs into the bear skin?
Yes.
But the attack scene where he's like, ugh. It's crazy, this scene. But my number five is going to be a movie that people aren't really in love with, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I love Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's a very long movie. Brad Pitt is more amazing than Leonardo DiCaprio, but DiCaprio makes the movie, and I think it's one of the better...
you like that?
Who's the director? Why can't I remember his name?
Tarantino,
yeah.
Yeah, and all of his movies are long, so...
Leo DiCaprio plays a washed-up actor. It's
shouldn't
hilarious.
Be surprised by that if you go to a Tarantino movie that's going to take a while.
True.
All right, Tony, what you got for number five?
How about William and Shakespeare's Romeo?
With Claire Danes?
What a
1996.
A softy you are, Tony.
Well, here's the deal. Like, at that time, I'm in high school. You're probably learning about Romeo and Juliet at that point. And so it was like a new version of it. And so that's really the only reason why I watched it. Because think we were covering it in school or something.
Yes, you'd rather see the movie than have to try to read through the actual play.
Yeah. The 14-year-old TG was certainly trying to find ways to not have to read that book.
There was a method to your madness.
There was 100% a method to my madness, but I'll put that one at 5.
All right. Interesting. I didn't expect that.
Speaking of The Revenant, that is the one movie that he did win Best Actor at the Academy Awards for, but doesn't make my top five either. My number five is The Aviator, where he played the crazy billionaire Howard Hughes.
Yes.
I just thought he did a phenomenal job. It's a movie I really enjoyed. I always wanted to learn about Howard Hughes. I didn't know too much about this crazy
Spruce
guy.
Goose?
He invented the Spruce Goose, which was an airplane that couldn't get off the ground, basically. But he was into aviation, and it's quite a good biopic, and he's quite good.
Okay.
The Aviator.
I don't think I've ever seen that, and I would probably love it.
You love every movie, so I think
it
definitely
would be a surprise.
Yeah, no. Number four, Scrape.
It's going to be one that has Tom Hanks in it as well, but it's Catch Me If You Can.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Frank Abagnale in the movie, and it's based on a true story. But basically, Tom Hanks is a FBI guy trying to catch him. He's a counterfeiter, so he makes checks and passports and all these other things. It's a really good movie.
He's elusive,
yes.
All right, Tony, number four for Leo DiCaprio.
Shutter Island.
Shutter Island.
Good flick. I'm not like the biggest Leonardo DiCaprio fan. I think he's a great actor. His movies are hella long most of the time. So that's already a minus for me. But I enjoyed Shutter Island. It was a crazy movie, man. It takes place on an island. It's an insane asylum, basically.
And, yeah.
He's doing an investigation about a girl that they thought went missing. It's a really good movie. If you're not like dialed in, you can be confused a little bit.
But I
enjoyed this one, Shutter Island. Number four.
Good one.
Number four for me is going to be The Wolf of Wall Street. It might rank a little higher on other lists. I thought he was great in the movie, but in a lot of ways, I ranked it fourth because I think Jonah Hill stole the movie from him with some of his unbelievably comedic scenes. Margot Robbie wasn't too shabby.
She stole the movie too.
Either. Right. So when I think back of Wolf of Wall Street, I don't think of him as much as those other two. That's why I ranked it fourth. But it's certainly one of his best, and he was nominated for Best Actor in 2014 for that.
Number three.
I think it's going to surprise people this isn't higher, but Titanic. I think that's what people remember him most for, right? Is standing on the front of the ship saying, "I'm the king of the world!"
That's exactly how he said it. Now, your imitations of people's voices could remain poor.
It's just brutal.
Yeah.
That was not brutal. It was not brutal. But Titanic was an amazing movie. I saw it in the theaters. It was very long, but as Tony said, Leo DiCaprio movies are very long. So there you go.
All right, Tony.
Number three on my list is Wolf of Wall Street. Mm. I was trying to figure out if I wanted to make that three or two.
Yeah.
Wolf of Wall Street was legit. It was definite. You know, I didn't see this one until everybody started talking about it. And so by the time I seen it, all the scenes that had stood out, I'd already knew about. And it was still good, despite that. And
yeah.
So that'll be number three on my list.
Number three for me is going to be one you mentioned earlier, Scraby, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh,
I really enjoyed it. I believe it's one of those ones I rented in a hotel room and, took me through 5 hours of free time, maybe 4 hours.
I think it's like 3.5.
Yeah, it's long. But, you know, the thing I like about this movie is it's a fictional account of the world going on in the Hollywood Hills when the Manson family came to prominence.
Yes.
And people were getting murdered. And
yes.
I liked how they tied the fictional part into the real life things that were going on.
It was very unexpected.
It was. And, he's good. And plus, isn't he the one at the end who gets the fire thrower and just gets to spray everybody with the fire? And he got the big...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he's got the fire gun there at the end.
The flamethrower.
The flamethrower, thank you. And that looks like fun to me. So I bet he enjoyed that scene.
Chris wants a flamethrower.
I would like to try it once,
I would too, not joking.
Yeah.
number two.
Although in video games, you have to shoot the tank on the back, and then it makes it explode, and it kills the enemy, Chris, just for to know.
Okay.
My number two is The Departed, where he plays an undercover cop, and Jack Nicholson's in this movie, Mark Wahlberg's in this movie, and he is incredible in this movie. You have to see it if you haven't seen it, so I can't reveal any more.
It's an Academy Award-winning movie.
Yeah, Best Picture. Really it's worth it, too.
Best Picture.
Had that come up on the list that I pulled up, certainly would have picked it, but it didn't, so I forgot about it.
Well, number two. You still have time to rectify
that. No, it's too late. I already got my five. The Django's at number two for me.
The Django Unchained?
The Django Unchained. It is another
Tarantino.
Tarantino movie, so you can imagine in 2012, Tarantino is really off the rails in terms of the bloodiness and some of the things you see. It was a good flick, though. I love the storyline. Leonardo was a slave plantation owner that was a little janky, and he paid the price.
He had the Colonel Sanders beard going in that one.
He did. He played that Leonardo. Leo DiCaprio. But, yeah. Oh my God, I can't say his name. Leonardo DiCaprio is a fantastic actor.
Oh yeah,
in all his movies. So he was really good in this one.
Okay. Number, what are we on? Two?
Two.
Yes,
yeah.
Two.
Catch Me If You Can. Really liked it. You'd mentioned it earlier. Tom Hanks. And to me, they have really good chemistry in the movie. I mean, he's trying to catch him the whole movie, but they also run into each other five or six times, and then DiCaprio finds a way to get out of there.
But he also kind of respects DiCaprio for being so
good. He does. Yeah, he's such a good criminal that Tom Hanks is like, wow, this guy's pretty good. So I think it's one that a lot of people would enjoy.
Number one.
My number one, you guys have already said it, Wolf of Wall Street. Ah. I think the Quaalude scene might be one of my favorite scenes in movie history.
It's the most talked about scene,
It's just so ridiculously hilarious when he's crawling to his car and he can't move his legs. It's just so funny. And then he thinks he gets home, but I mean, it's a terrible thing that he did, but in the movie, it makes sense. It's a great scene. Love that movie.
Number one for me has got to be Titanic.
Can you do your I'm the King of the World?
I'm not going to. You wrecked it for everybody forevermore. He's fabulous in this movie. I don't think that the movie's as good as it was without him, although it's very good and the effects are great. And again, it's another movie that he's in where real life meets fiction, because the Titanic sinking really did happen. You know, his part in the movie is part of what tells the story, but he's remarkably good in that. And it's the one that I think I'll always, and everybody will always remember.
Did we skip Tony?
Oh, we did. Nope. I jumped ahead of you.
Oh, okay. You did.
Yeah, you're number one. Sorry.
Inception. I love this movie.
Really?
I really, really love this
Tony,
movie.
I've got an hour and a half. Can you explain it to me, please? It's a long show today, and I need to fill some time.
I could give you a little bit. Basically, Leonardo DiCaprio's, I think his character's name is Dom. He is a thief that has the crazy skill of being able to enter people's dreams and basically like steal their secrets and their ideas. This skill has basically forced him to lose everything that he actually loved in life. And so he basically gets asked to do this, pull this skill off on a criminal that is diabolical. The criminal anticipates it, this thing that he does, and it just becomes a confusing mess if you are not paying attention. This is not one of those movies where you can get up and go to the bathroom or get up and do something other than watch the film, or you'll be lost.
I was lost, even though I stayed dialed in. I stayed dialed in, and I didn't make it. So that was a tough one. But I will also admit to being kind of stupid when it comes to following movies. I need somebody to lean over once in a while and go, hey, that's what their name is. Oh.
Wake you up.
Yeah. Well, now I got it.
I could not put Titanic. I don't know that I've ever watched the full Titanic movie. Is that because it scares you?
Oh, because it's so long.
It's so long.
I thought the water was, because you hate water, so.
Oh, that's another part for water. Tony, yeah. Pictures himself going down with that ship.
There's nothing more frightening than thinking about sinking to the bottom of the ocean in the Titanic, I think.
Yeah, because there's nothing you can do. It's over.
You're stuck. Goodbye.
Yeah. Good thing to remind me before I go on my cruise next week.
Oh, that's right.
All right, there we go with our countdown today. Scraby's calling out Tony on Tony's gone to get ready for the broadcast, but Scraby's calling out Tony on being able to understand the movie Inception.
It's more like everybody who has ever told me they understood it. I'm like, I don't know. I can't.
I will say this: Tony's the first guy ever to be able to at least make an explanation.
Seriously.
But it was an explanation.
He did explain it correctly, which is the first good explanation.
It was a good explanation, but I still don't see how anybody can follow it. J.D. Wicker from the Aztecs, a day after they get into the Pac-12. Looking forward to visiting with him next on Gwen and Chris.